In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I want to welcome you to St. George's Forest Hill Anglican Church here in Kitchener this morning. Many of you who are here every Sunday say, wait a minute, why do you need that kind of introduction? Because this week is St. George's Day. We celebrate the St. George. Why do we do that? I mean, after all, he lived in the 4th century. How could that possibly be relevant to you and I today? What if I told you that he is considered, and I quote, an image of every Christian's daily warfare against the forces of sin, ignorance, fear, and injustice? What if I told you that George was a Roman soldier and a secret Christian? You see, it unpacks in this way. George was not allowed to be a Roman soldier and a Christian. It simply wasn't allowed. The politics and culture of the time forbid it. And so he kept it a secret. A matter of fact, he even put off his own baptism, as many of the Christian Roman soldiers did, until after the retirement. The details around his martyrdom are foggy at best, but what we know is that he laid his life on the line for the protection of others, and he did so with honor and integrity, wisdom and compassion. And so some say that his martyrdom is profoundly important because for him, and I quote again, the baptism, it was a better kind of baptism because he shared in the suffering and death of Christ himself. He gave it everything he had, literally gave it everything that he had. And so he became known years later as a model of the perfect Christian warrior, a figure that appealed to the medieval English kings, and they often placed their wars of conquest under his protection. He was an infamous character, not because of the battle, but because of his willingness to surrender his life for the needs of others, to lay down his life for the needs of others. There's a 4th century saint for you. Let me give you a contemporary one. In 2002, I met an extraordinary woman. She was 69 years of age at the time. She was the former first woman vice president of the Michigan Bank. She had left that career and began studying in the seminary and was ordained a deacon in the Anglican Church of Canada. And her work in her 70s would be with the poor, with the disadvantaged, with the lonely, the frightened, and the confused, that she would focus on pastoral care. 2 years to the date of her ordination, she had an appointment with her doctor and was diagnosed with an inoperable cancer and was dead in 6 months. Just at the beginning of this extraordinary ministry to reach into the lives of others and bring new hope, new peace, new joy, her own body betrayed her. She is remembered by many, including myself, as one of the most extraordinary women in ministry I have ever met. She walked into a room and brightened it by her spirit. Oh, let me be clear, a spirit that was within her. You felt something extraordinary by the presence of this person. There was a peace and a love that radiated from her. It wasn't that there had been a lack of struggle. If you're the first woman vice president of the Michigan Bank, you have known what the struggle in dealing with an all-male-dominated world is like. And her private pain is only known by one line on her tombstone, where it names a child that was born and died on the same day. She didn't talk about it. But she was marvelous with women, particularly women who were pregnant. She extended empathy and compassion and understanding. She was Christ's presence for them. Contemporary saints and traditional saints, people of phenomenal faith who make the decision not only to have the faith, but to live the faith through the love that they share with other people. In today's New Testament lesson from 1 John, we read about the importance of the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his son. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the whole world might be saved through him. And then there's the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus that is demonstrated so powerful in his life, his death, and his resurrection, that everything that he said and did and thought was instructed by the love of the Father that flowed through him. But it doesn't stop there. For when we accept the faith of Jesus Christ, we also accept the love, a sacrificial love, a love that we are prepared to share with others. Now, how does this take a form in our day-to-day lives? It takes the form in our day-to-day lives when we stand shoulder to shoulder when people are searching for affordable housing, when people are asking that no one in our world go hungry, when people are saying that the poverty is so overtaking that they can hardly breathe and that they need somebody to give them not a handout, but a hand up. To stand shoulder to shoulder, to be a source of support, encouragement, and love, to let people know that there is always hope, no matter how desperate life might feel in a moment. As Christians, you and I are called to model Christ's love for the world around us, to put ourselves out, so to speak, to be the voice and the action that is the faith of Jesus Christ, to be the ones that reach out into the world, find the need, find the person attached to the need, and to help make the need be met. This is a difficult thing for us. Sacrificial love, as it comes from Jesus Christ, means that there are some risks. Not all of you will choose to go to a third world country to preach and teach and pastor, knowing that the gun may well be pointed at your head as well as theirs. Nor do you have a need to put yourself in that kind of situation. Believe me, there's enough needs in this community, in this province, in this country. I don't want to discourage those who want to go into developing countries. Instead, what I want to be able to say is you can start by simply looking at your own neighborhood, your own community, your own city, your own province, and your own country. Taking that love of Jesus Christ and sharing it with someone else can be as simple as starting by listening. When we are called to lay down our life, sometimes what that means is to lay down our time, our energy, our financial resources, to be truly present for somebody that is in need. Sometimes it's to sit with somebody who's been lonely so long they're losing some of their memories. Sometimes it's important to be able to provide food for those who are denying the reality that their fridge is empty. Sometimes it's simply taking a hand and letting someone know that they're not as alone as they feel in this world. I believe with all my heart and soul that the church is called to speak into the lives and situations of our communities where there is injustice, where there is a lack of equality, where there is arrogance, where there is racism, where there is cultural insensitivity. Where is God calling you today? What situation is God naming for you as a need that you may be able to respond to? Now, don't panic. You're not on your own. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit is with believers. The power of the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom, the insight, and the skill to be able to respond to the situation in love. And believe me, that is the good news. Amen.